Chrysler 300 guy is spot on, reads the first ticket text. Somebody tell that idiot with the car reference, talk to Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Another one says, I don't want to hear Goff hate after one game. It's a loss they could have won for multiple reasons. Another one says, the offense will be just fine. Jeez. Okay, couple things going on today. This is a Monday after a loss. We're going to talk about the things that went wrong. No one has hit the eject seat on the season. The Lions haven't lost back-to-back games since before Halloween of 2022. I'm certainly not panicking. But John, that loss was deeply disappointing. And we've been trying to point out the things that made it so frustrating. Dan Campbell's tried to take all the blame. I'm not letting his team off the hook. I'm not letting his offensive coordinator off the hook. I'm not letting his quarterback off the hook. I get why he said it. He did have a huge gaffe at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
But it's not the biggest reason they lost this game. They had chance after chance after chance to overcome it, and they couldn't score in the red zone.
Well, and the frustrating thing is I don't believe that they lost to a better team. If the Lions had simply played and executed better, and you could disagree with the game plan. You could say, yeah, they should run the ball more, or instead of throwing it 55 times, if they had just executed, this would have been a win. The defensive performance was good enough. You could sit there and talk about special teams and the fake punt. A lot of what they did was good enough, obviously, and going back to whoever's fault it was for running the field goal team on at the end of the first half. Now, that's not a championship effort. That's not a winning effort.
That's a high school performance. I mean, that's the circus
but if,
is in
if
town.
If they just simply execute, even if they just execute on that one.
Yeah.
They come away with 3 points, and then at the end of the game, instead of being down 4, you're down 1, and who knows what happens. It changes the whole course of the second half. But they would have gotten points. They would have gotten the ball to start the second half. You could have really changed the tide and turned things in your favor, but they didn't take advantage of the opportunities they had.
And let's zoom out. This loss is not disqualifying. It's nothing like that.
No.
You want home field in the playoffs. San Francisco lost. You win. You stay ahead of them. Long season, but every single game is going to matter if you want home field in the playoffs. Every single game is going to matter.
All right,
so I know some people want to, well, why are we so negative? This is still a really good football team. It's a very good football team, and that's what makes yesterday unacceptable. And that's what makes it so frustrating, to use John's word.
So Edward, Chrysler 300 guy, he calls. He's great. Always has good opinions. I love him as a caller. And he never said that they wouldn't win without Goff. Okay, he said that things have to be really good around him, unlike those guys he named. Now, I think it's unfair for him to put Caleb Williams.
Yeah,
in my opinion, Jordan Love.
Sure.
But he did mention Stroud. And the kind of plays that Edwards talking about is the play that happened last night in the game with the Texans. Did you see it where Stroud evaded the pressure, rolled out, and threw a dime to Nico Collins on the
run? For a touchdown.
Jared Goff can't do that, and we all know he can't do that, and the league is moving towards guys like that. But to anoint some of these other guys, I think, is premature, but he has limitations, and I think Edwards' big point was, you've only got so much time to do it here, and that's why I think this season and maybe next is the time with Goff, because it's going to be a lot harder to keep everything around him perfect.
Optimal. Yeah. Let's get to the phones. 248-539-9797. Ryan and Canton, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys, I think especially John's just last little spiel, like getting the field goal unit out, that's 3 points. Like, we just didn't play with any urgency where we weren't controlling the pace and putting Tampa on their heels with those linemen that are out on the defensive line. There was a play where we got it to, like, 3rd and 2 going near a 2-minute warning and, like, get the line up and get 2 more plays in quick, and we just let the clock roll, like we're feeling good. We're the Lions. We have these wins, but you got to make it happen to get to the Super Bowl. And it just didn't seem like there was any urgency with any of our guys or the coaches yesterday. So to me, it was the coaches. Like, get the players up, get some 2-minute drill going, and finish this.
End of the first half, they took their time, and they ended up running out of time. So I think that's a valid criticism. And even the play before the penalty. Goff's throw to Amon-Ra St. Brown. You're in field goal range. You have no timeouts. Throwing in the middle of the field is a waste. You're just setting up a closer field goal. Throw the sideline, work the sideline, throw the end zone, work the end zone. If you're not going to do it, just It's not Goff's fault they didn't get the field goal off. My point is I'm not really sure what the checkdown was meant to accomplish with no timeouts inside of 30 seconds there. I don't know why you even throw that ball. I mean, I just don't understand why you throw that ball. Same question to Goff at the end of the game.
Yeah, you try and hit J-Mo on the sidelines. Now, it's a completed pass, but it doesn't count because he had, you know, his two big toes are stepping out. But then you come back and you hit him at the numbers on a pass that's good, taking him to the ground. Yeah, no timeouts.
The Lions' final possession was 33 seconds to go, ball right around midfield. They have one timeout. Remember, because Baker threw the ball and they didn't run it. You have one timeout. That is your salvation. Because you have the one timeout, you have complete control of the field. You can go anywhere because you have the one timeout. What do they do the very first play? 9 yards, middle of the field, burn the timeout. Are you kidding me? You're going to burn the one precious gift you have at the end of the game. You're going to burn on the very first play for 9 yards. Jared, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Throw it out of bounds. It's not worth it. John, to make matters worse, they've burned their only timeout. What do they do the very next play? 9 yard play inbounds, baby. What are you doing? Now you have to spike the ball because you have no timeouts and you've burned 18 seconds to travel 18 yards. Now you really can't work the middle of the field because you have to go sideline, because you have to go end zone. That makes it easier on a defense. I don't understand the checkdowns there from Jared. I get it if it's the only thing open. Throw it out of bounds. Save your timeout. The timeout's more precious at that point because it lets you go wherever you want on the field. You gave that away immediately.
And that's where I think I go to outcoached. You know they're going to give you the middle of the field. And so why are you having those options in the middle? If it's going to be in the middle of the field, it should be a lot further than that.
Deeper, exactly. Because you only get one of them. And to use it on a 9 yard play, So yeah, some of that's Goff, some of that's Ben Johnson. You know what that's not is Dan Campbell's halftime mistake.
Right.
The chances were there to overcome it.
The chances were there to overcome it, but when you get the ball with, 30 seconds left-ish.
It's a low percentage no matter what.
And you've got to get four instead of just kicking a field goal. I mean, we all were hoping at some point that Jake Bates would be able to be trotted out there to win the game.
I know.
But it just wasn't the case because in the second half, they didn't capitalize on any opportunities. And when it came down to it, not getting three at the end of the first half ultimately bit you in the backside before when you're trying to win the game.
Baker Mayfield scores the go-ahead touchdown with how much time left in the game? Basically a quarter. He scored it with 30 seconds to go in the third. The Lions had four fourth-quarter possessions and scored 0 points. Let's get to the phones. Who's next up? It's Anthony in Commerce Township. Anthony, you're on 97.1.
How you guys doing? Yeah, I blame this play calling on Ben Johnson. David Montgomery absolutely dominated in overtime. And for most of the first half of the game, he was on the sidelines. They played Gibbs. We did not establish a run. We have one of the best offensive lines running the ball in the NFL, which did not allow LaPorta to do any play action or open him up. And on top of it, late in the game, that 3rd-and-2, run Montgomery up the middle, get the first down. Instead, they throw like a swing pass to Gibbs. We take a loss. And you know, that's on Campbell, too, for not maybe telling Ben Johnson, dude, let's run the ball. Jared Goff is not Tom Brady. He should not be throwing the ball 55 times a game. I'm sorry, but
bingo.
The play calling was horrendous.
Anthony, I'm not in my head. I'm right there with you. I mean, to have 55 pass attempts at a one-score game, when again, you have this run game, this offensive line, I come on, that's Ben Johnson.
Well, and it all comes down to the opportunities that you had inside the red zone. You get inside the red zone 7 times and you come away with one touchdown with this offensive line. And, you know, hey, the second drive, first drive of the game, interception. And we haven't even talked about the you know, PI that should have been called on J-Mo.
Yeah.
But it starts off. Things are going to go that way sometimes. Fine. So be it. Then you have 5 plays, 67 yards. You get a chance to answer because now Tampa Bay has had 2 field goals. You should be up 7-6, and you have to settle for a field goal. Yeah. The next one, 13 plays, 67 yards. You're again in the red zone, and you come away with 3, so you tie it up. And then you're always playing catch-up the rest of the game because Tampa goes down and scores. You punt, and then you have the gaff at the end of the first half. That's your scoring and your drive in the first half. Then you're thinking, okay, hey, we make our adjustments. We know what we're going to do in the second half. And you come out and you get into the red zone and you come away with another field goal. Between the 20s, this team was dynamic. They were good. But you can't come away with field goals in the red zone.
How about their last real possession? Not the one with 30 seconds left where admittedly things are, you know, uphill. They had the ball 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, ball on their own 18. Mm-hmm. And they drive, John, to your point, into the red zone.
13 plays, 76 yards.
And they had a big fourth and one pickup where, stop me if you've heard this, they ran the ball. Now, it was a little more dynamic than your static turnaround and hand a ball. It was Gibbs, and they got him out to the outside with a couple of offensive linemen leading the way. And J-Mo had a great block on Levante David. I'm like, all right, for all the slop, it's just like last week. They're going to finish this out. They've got the ball at that point on the Tampa Bay 13. And we were texting during this exchange. And what do they do in the very first play? Toss. No, it's a pass play, not a toss. A pass play for negative 4 yards. Great. Then they throw a pass for 5 yards. Still just kind of hovering around this short game. And then on 3rd and 9, John, they threw a screen pass. You got to throw towards the first down, towards the end zone. You got to try to score a touchdown. You're down 4 points. Boys, what are we doing?
Well, and so it's 3rd and 9. Now, this play was set up to be successful.
You've
got two offensive linemen. It was designed, it was play called to be a screen out there. And Graham Glasgow, first man out. He's the left guard. You're sending the center, Frank Ragnow, after him. And they both end up looking at the same guy. Graham Glasgow blocks him. And Frank, all he had to do was look inside. So as he's coming up, he should be looking straight ahead, not to the outside. You've got to trust Graham that he's going to have that block. Frank needs to look upfield, and when he doesn't see anything upfield, you look inside. If he picks up the linebacker coming from the inside, boom, that play is gone.
May have scored a touchdown, gotten the first down. Even if they didn't, it sets up a manageable
fourth and one.
Right, instead of a 4th and 8, where guess what they did, John? They threw it short of the sticks. I mean, it was infuriating on so many levels. They did it to themselves. 248-539-9797. I know the point is, if Campbell kicks a field goal in the first half, they only need a field goal at the end. This offense should be good enough to score a touchdown with 4 fourth-quarter possessions. That, to me, was the issue. Your phone calls, your thoughts, it's 97.1.
I used to spend my career protecting quarterbacks. Now I'm trusted Rapid Roofing to protect my largest investment, my home, and my family. I called them last year. They came out. They gave me a great estimate. And in one day, they came out, ripped the roof off, made the repairs, put a new roof on, and cleaned everything up and were gone. It was a great experience from start to finish. Mike Beatty and his team came out, and it wasn't a high-pressure sales event. They've got great guarantees, and they stand behind everything that they do. If you want the same service, you want the same great value that you get from Rapid Roofing, give them a call, 888-360-ROOF. That's 888-360-ROOF, or you can find more info on the web at rapidroofing.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Let's just get right to the phones. People got a lot to say today. Lions lose, blame game, thoughts. Kevin in Farmington Hills, you're on 97.1. Kevin, good morning.
Kevin, would you like to talk about the Lions game?
Maybe it's best if you don't. We'll go to Tyler. Tyler, you're on 97.1.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Going. It's going.
Been better.
Right. So, hey, remind me how much time they had after that timeout. It was what, 18 seconds?
14 seconds. Oh, no, sorry.
14
seconds. Where are we talking? We're talking fourth quarter. Lions got the ball with 33 seconds. They threw a pass to St. Brown.
They called timeout. There's 27 seconds left on the clock.
Yes.
Okay, so there's 27 seconds left. Okay, so at this point in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, they can either go to the sideline for at least 10 yards, make the pass, the last couple passes in the end zone, shorter. And then if they don't decide to do that, I'm like, okay, well, let's just take shots at the end zone. But you can't go, obviously, you can't go up the middle. And then for sure, you can't go short of the sticks. If they go short of the sticks, they have no timeouts. What do they think? They can spike the ball for a short pass inside the 10-yard line? Like, I feel like you just should take those shots at the end zone and try to win the game.
Yeah, Goff said after the game that they wanted to get within, I think, I don't know what their number was, 15 or 20 yards. Those are like significantly higher percentage end zone
shots
throws,
the end zone, yeah.
Which I think I'm sure is factually correct. But Tyler, to your point, you can't burn time because then you get less chances. You don't even make it all the way down to the 15-yard line because you mismanage the clock so poorly. Like Jared's a vet. He can't make not one but two completions over the middle of the field in the final 30 seconds when they only had one timeout or no timeouts. Like, you're not even going to get your chances in your high-percentage looks. Yeah, that's frustrating. Chris and Ypsilanti, this is an interesting game thought. What the Lions maybe should have done instead?
Yeah, hey guys, I'm actually not like too bent out of shape over the play calling. We have 400 yards total offense, and Todd Bowles is a good defensive coach. My take here is that at the end of the game, not on the last drive, but the penultimate drive, where we had about a minute left, if they kick the field goal, and pull within one, Tampa Bay's game plan is pretty much the same: run the ball, run the clock.
Yep.
And you probably get the ball back again with 30 seconds left with a kicker with a giant boot attached to his right leg in Jake Bates. You only have to get the ball reasonably to the 40 or 45 yard line. And here's my overall point. I think Dan Campbell from 2021, 2022 had to take an aggressive stance because the defense did not have horses. You could not trust the defense to get him the ball back in advantageous positions. But this defense is legit. Like, you just held the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to under 250 yards offense. You just bottled up the Los Angeles Rams of Puka Nacua, Matt Stafford, and Cooper Kupp to 20 points in week one. This is a good defense, especially against the run. And in game situations where you know Todd Bowles has to run the ball, you are going to stuff them. I want Dan Campbell to start to trust this defense because, yeah, look, they didn't execute in the red zone. But it's not just the first half where you missed out on 3 points. You missed out on 3 points at the end of the game, and thus you made it so that you had to get a touchdown on your final drive. So that's my overall point. I think if Dan starts to trust this defense to be what it's looking like it is, a real legit defense, yeah, we take more threes, but those threes then add up.
Chris,
so
this is
my take.
This is a really good phone call, and it's something that, you know, John and I were talking about off air. Like,
fourth and eight at the Tampa Bay 11 with 1 minute and 1 second left.
If you do what Chris says, you kick it, you're down one, you kick off. Tampa's a bad running team. Your defense is good. You get the ball back with one timeout or no timeout. Same thing, but now you only need a field goal. At the time, I didn't question it because I don't know that you're guaranteeing that you're getting the ball back. I feel like I got a shot to go win the game right now. In the moment, I was cool with them going for it on fourth and eight, so I don't want to like...
Right.
Sit here and like Monday morning quarterback second guess it. In the moment, I thought it was fine to go for it.
Yeah, I didn't have an issue with going for it. And I did think about, okay, if they kick the field goal here and you're looking at it saying we're going to have to force Tampa Bay to punt. You cannot allow a first down. So they run a play and they pick up 1 yard, timeout. Now there's 49 seconds left. I mean, we all saw how it played out.
It played out the same way in theory.
Now, they did give you a gift.
By throwing the ball
on third. By throwing the ball on third down. So you didn't have to spend that last timeout. I think at that point, because the situation changes then for Tampa Bay. If they don't convert that first down, they can either force you to spend that last timeout or let the play clock run.
Yeah. I think there's merit to the point he made. I do. It's why I think it was a good phone call. Does Dan need to trust the defense more on a day where the defense is good, when he's got three timeouts and he can chip away at it, field goal at a time? I get what the caller's saying. I get what his point was. In the moment, I just kind of felt like this is the fourth drive. Well, that was the third drive at that point, with a chance to take the lead with your offense. Go make the play. Because I feared not getting the ball back. I would have hated to see them kick a field goal there. never get the ball again and lose.
Well, certainly. I mean, they were ended up 1 of 6 in the red zone at that point. You're thinking to yourself, odds are they're going to finally find the end zone, right?
But if you would have told me Jared Goff's going to throw it 3 yards short of the first down mark, yeah, I would have just kicked the field goal. I mean, that's frustrating.
And that's where you keep coming back to. It is frustrating when you have a dynamic offense. You have the ability to be a dynamic offense. I just don't understand why they go away from the run. And I don't even care who the back is. Jahmyr Gibbs was really good running the football. David Montgomery, we saw what he meant into the run game when he was running angry at the end of the Rams game.
Yep.
Why go away from the run, no matter who the running back is? But then when you have a chance to throw the ball, you have so many different weapons, but one of them you've taken off the board in Sam Laporta because you're not looking at him and he's not even in routes.
At least on one red zone play, the first red zone possession, he was not out on a route on a 3rd and 3. I don't understand. 3rd and 3 from the 3. So when we do this like blame game that's been kind of part of the show today, there's Dan Campbell who said, just give it all to me. Give me all the blame. I'll take it all. It's my fault. I screwed up. The coach screwed up. There's Ben Johnson and there's Jared Goff. When people say Jared Goff, I understand why they bring up Jared Goff. The guy threw 2 picks. He threw consistently short of the sticks. He mismanaged the game clock situations. I understand why people said Jared Goff. To me, it's Ben Johnson because of what you said. Because you ran it 27 times and threw it 55 times. Because you ran for 5 yards a carry and then got amnesia in the red zone. That's Ben Johnson. And if we want to say, well, Goff just isn't dynamic and he's not worth it. Okay. We know he's not dynamic. So your play caller needs to run the ball, set up play action pass, and in the red zone, give it to Gibbs and give it to Montgomery and hand the ball off behind this offensive line first and foremost. If it's 3rd and long, I get it. You got to throw. But get to 3rd and short because you're running it on early downs because you know who your personnel is. Chris in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
Yes, how y'all doing? Talk about the Lions. Yep. It's some blame. Dan Campbell with the mismanagement at the end of the half. But I thought Ben Johnson, it was a big problem. He just threw the ball too much. Even the first half, they just started off passing just too much. It's like they just tried to set the run up by passing. I guess they wanted to have the defense maybe back up, play more of a pass defense and then try to open up the run. But they never gave a run game like a consistent chance because when we did run, Montgomery really had some good chunk runs. And I don't think JG is just elite enough as an arm talent to sit there and throw 55 times when you got a run game. You got a top 3 offensive line, top 3 running game. You got 2 1,000-yard backs, basically.
Yep.
You got a speed receiver. You got a slot receiver. You got a great tight end. And you sit there and you got all these tools around Goff and you just throw the ball. And I don't get it because Goff, I don't think he's good enough to win a Super Bowl unless you're elite at coaching, play calling, and you got to have elite stuff around him. I mean, he has an elite offensive line and backs and all that, but...
Well, Chris, you might be stumbling into something here, is they need to be honest about what they have. Like, they can't call the game like Patrick Mahomes is under center. They can't call the game like they have one of the 5 best gunslingers in football. They have to understand and be honest with who Jared Goff is and call the game accordingly.
I like the shots to J-Mo. I thought the pass to him on the 50-yard completion, like that's the best connection we've seen between these two because J-Mo didn't have to adjust at all.
No, it was really good.
It laid right out in front of him. He made a nice catch, and it was a great completion. This is where I really struggle with this offense because now that you do have that threat, Jared Goff has shown that he can capitalize on that threat. I mean, Milk Carton. Where is Sam Laporta?
Do we know if he still plays on this team? Can someone get on that? Look at the team website or something? John, I'm with you. I'm with you. He has to be more involved. He has 1 red zone target through 2 games. He was such a key piece for them a year ago. He's a 100-target guy. He was the 1A, 1B.
He's a big target. He's a guy that can catch it in traffic.
Yep. So even if someone's covered, he can go make a play on the football.
And that's where you got to trust your receivers, too. I know that everybody was covered down deep. But at some point, you throw the ball up and you say, hey, J-Mo, go make a play. Monroe St. Brown, go make a play. Not going to check it down.
Right. Yeah, give your receiver a chance. Go make a play. You got great, great players out there. All pro out there. We got TJ Lang coming up at 9:02. Still a chance for you guys to get in before that. It's 97.1.
Hey, if you want a great place to watch some of these games, whether it's college football Saturdays, any day of the week with the NFL, why not do it at Circa Resort and Casino? One of the best viewing experiences that's 100% built for sports fans. Six pools, three different levels. You can pick which one you want to swim in and watch or sit next to watch the massive 40-foot-tall, high-definition screen at Stadium Swim. It's America's favorite place to watch football. Swim-up bars, instant-ready selfie walls, and one nonstop party. You can score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grandma lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What a circus. High school level mistake. Dan Campbell owned it, said, it's my fault. Head coach cost us, let us down. And then he said coming out for the second half that the team had to overcome it. They didn't. So as much as he wants to put it all on himself, and maybe some of you want to put it all on Dan, I won't. I think Ben Johnson, red zone play calling. I think Jared Goff, bad decision making. Red zone possessions, the two of them together. The offense scored 16 points, went 1 of 7 in the red zone. 248-539-9797. People you're not going to blame. Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
What? 4.5 sacks? That's the thing. This defense actually did the job. Back-to-back weeks, they held the opponent to 20 points. And this week, we didn't just see pressures. We saw sacks. We saw a turnover. Brian Branch caught the interception this time. Like, everything we wanted to see is this defense take a step this season. And they have, and they did, and they still lost. So Aiden is not someone we're going to blame. I'm not going to blame Applebee's or the Bernstein Law Firm. Have you seen some of that? Tom, you said there was a guy who called in yesterday after the game and blamed.
I think it's actually a woman.
Oh, okay.
Okay, to clarify. Yeah, so go out to eat after the game for my mom's birthday. We're getting in the car to go over to their house to have cake after, and I'm listening to Stoney and Hammer. And the first thing I heard Stoney reference was, it's not Dan Campbell being in an Applebee's commercial or a Sam Bernstein commercial. And he's focused on that instead of the Lions winning. And I knew this was coming when he did it.
Yeah.
Especially with the Applebee's one.
Sure.
Come on. What's it? Jared Goff should stop spending less time with Andrea Kramer with the Cure commercials. I mean, come on, people. Every athlete does this in every town when they have success. That's not the issue.
And coaches. Yep. Now, many coaches aren't the celebrities that Dan Campbell is, but I don't think it took a second away from their preparation this week. I don't think it's why they had the issues.
I've given you a ton of texts today, and they've gotten lost in the shovel. We had good calls, and you just can't get to them all.
No, I mean, look at those.
But there is another one to blame.
Yeah. Who?
Jared Goff got married in the offseason. He's soft now.
Okay. Oh,
Jesus. God, seriously. I love these theories, though. They make me laugh. They're entertaining. But come on, in reality, and maybe they're sending them tongue-in-cheek just to get a reaction.
In reality, all right, it's game two. Last year, they lost week two to Seattle and went on to the NFC Championship game. I understand that we're talking about this after a loss, and this was a team that they should have beaten. I still believe the Lions, even though they lost, are a better team than Tampa Bay. You play that game again, even though you don't get that opportunity, maybe you will in the playoffs, I would still pick the Detroit Lions to win. They had their opportunities. They will have opportunities against Arizona, against Seattle, against every team that they play. They have to find a way to answer the bell, you know, and when they're in the red zone. Score touchdowns, not field goals.
248-539-9797. Yeah, there's not a panic here. This is just an honest Monday morning frustration, session for Lions fans whose team was good enough, was a better team, and screwed it up so many different ways that you have every right to be upset. In terms of panic, the Lions haven't lost back-to-back games since October of 2022. I am not panicking. The tools are still there for this offense to be top five, and what we've seen on defense is encouraging. This team is every bit capable of winning the Super Bowl today on a Monday after the loss. It's what makes the loss that much more frustrating. We'll get back to the phones where we have Chris in Detroit. Chris, you're on 97.1.
Yes, I know we lost connection. How you guys doing again? I would just go piggyback off what I was saying before about what they have in JG. I just don't think he's elite enough for them to have errors like that. And Ben Johnson, he signed a new contract. He's going to have to make his money, and JG going to have to make his money, because I know John was a pro, so I'm pretty sure he'll agree with this. I think when you pay a quarterback that much money, you pay for third down conversions, you pay for fourth quarter comebacks and being able to execute in fourth quarter and execute in the red zone. And Goff didn't do none of them yesterday. And I just think he just throws in the middle of the field too much. And when they've been taking the middle of the field away, he ain't been able to throw to the sidelines and on deep crossing routes, no deep balls, except that one to J-Mo. And I just don't see him elite enough for them to have errors like that. They got to have to be perfect play calling and execution for him to really maximize his talent, because he's not a Tom Brady or Peyton Manning where he can sit in the pockets, make all the throws, because he can't. So they're going to have to get that run game to set up the pass to where it can't open up the middle where LaPorta and St. Brown can do damage.
I think you're spot on.
If not, I don't see them winning the Super Bowl if they can't do that, because you have to be with a pocket quarterback these days. You've got to be able to be elite, and he's not. So you're going to have to overcome that lack of elite arm talent with play calling and trick plays and the stuff they were doing.
And running the ball and improve defense,
yeah,
and all that stuff.
Because they ran the ball well, and I don't know what happened where they just kept trying to throw the ball, like 55 passes. Like, come on. And you was in the game. It's not like you were down.
Right.
Scored. It's like, why?
Yeah, Chris, if they're down 17 points, I go, okay, fine. Game's getting out of hand. You're going to have to cut it loose a little bit.
But get the shotgun and start throwing the thing around.
Right.
The game was close the whole game.
But they
had Montgomery and Gibbs.
Four fourth-quarter possessions in a one-score game. You can be balanced. You can play to your strength. You can run the ball. You can play action pass. You can do all of these things. What you don't have to do is throw it short, shallow, into the flats repeatedly.
Right. And even with, you know, when they got the ball – in that second-to-last possession with 5 minutes to go, I thought, you know, coming off of that interception, I'm okay. All right, they're going to go down and score a touchdown, and they're going to break the hearts of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because I had all the confidence in the world that this is going to be the time where they get in the red zone and they actually capitalize on it. And I still have that faith. I like the ball in Jared Goff's hands in that moment. I think he can make all of the throws. Is he limited in his mobility? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he can. He's shown before that he can put the team on his back and go win a game. I thought he was going to do that yesterday. It does come down to, you have to adjust the play calling. If they're taking away the sidelines, that is, how many times have we seen other teams? And let's just use Patrick Mahomes, because I think he is the one quarterback in the NFL right now, and maybe Josh Allen, he's kind of proven it this year, that doesn't have to have elite weapons to go out there and win a game. All the other quarterbacks do. They need weapons. And if you're not going to be able to get open on the sidelines, or you're not going to have a scheme that allows you to have a target, maybe it's a small window that you could throw into, but I think Jared Goff can hit those small windows. You've got to be able to have that at your disposal. You've got to have that availability. And I didn't see it yesterday from the play calling.
Drew in Roseville, you're on 97.1. Drew, what's up?
Hey, guys. Just a lot to unpack here. Listen, the play calling was suspect. Let's just get down to it. The last two games have been suspect. I think it has to do with a little bit of them not playing starters in the preseason, so it's taking them to get their feet underneath them. Goff looked off. He was off his game yesterday. I just think he was off yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was because he didn't play in the preseason. And the defense played a heck of a game, but I got to be honest with you, we're going up against a guy that likes to run a little bit more than Baker next week, so we better clean that up, or this guy's going to run for 1,000 yards on us next week. So that's another thing that scares me is, I love the pressure we're getting, but we're losing contain, which is dangerous when you got a guy like Kyler Murray, who's the next guy on the plate. So you're right, though, John. He's got to clean up this play call. He's got to adjust to the game plan, because it looks to me like the other team during the middle of the game, like the beginning and the middle, we're clogging the middle of the field, like forcing our outside throws to go outside.
Mm-hmm.
That's why LaPorta is nowhere to be found. Is that something that you've noticed too, John? I'm not sure. It looks that way to me. And at the end of the game, they went outside and clogged, you know, left the inside, the middle a little bit open.
You've got to find a way to get Sam LaPorta involved in this offense. You've got to make him a threat. If you make him a threat in the middle of the field, it will open up things on the outside. How many times have we seen Amon-Ra St. Brown over the last 2 years catch a ball and, you know, a toe tap, get it in. That's the guy I want to find. I don't want him across the middle of the field. J-Mo has been, the drops that he had at the beginning of last year, not a concern.
I think the preseason stuff is one of the biggest excuses I continue to see, hear, read about. Last year, the Lions didn't play their starters in the preseason. They went into Kansas City and beat the Chiefs. Oh, but the offense wasn't humming. Well, in week two, Jared Goff threw for 300 yards, three touchdowns, and they scored 31 points. There's no excuse. You can't say, well, they didn't play in the preseason. This was the second game of the season. Last year, they were 1-0 and put up 30 points in the second week of the season. It's not an excuse.
And you've got to learn from your past. The last 2 years, there have been games that they lost at the beginning of the year that either in 22 prevented them from making the playoffs or in 23 prevented them from a better seed. You lost in week two coming off of the big win at Kansas City, and now it's a loss to Tampa coming off of, you know, an emotional win against the Rams.
902 TJ will tell us what we missed, you know, because he was there and he's so much smarter than all of us, I'm sure. No, TJ always comes in and has a good time with us on Mondays. We'll do that at 902. Your phone calls will be welcome then and moving until then. Next, we'll get more of your thoughts. It's 97.1.
Hey, let me tell you about Founders Brewing, because they've been making high-quality beers right here in the great state of Michigan for over 25 years with a focus on using the highest quality ingredients. You can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all. And with all-day IPA, here is what you get. A refreshing and deliciously flavorful, easy drinking and high quality beer. All Day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. Speaking of great times, All Day IPA is the perfect beer for anyone on game days. You can visit foundersbrewing.com to find All Day IPA. All Day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
Taking your phone calls, 248-539-9797. TJ Lang will join us at 902. Give us his 2 cents on the game, see if we missed anything. We've been putting blame on, yeah, Stan Campbell, he put it on himself. Ben Johnson, the play calling, Jared Goff, some of the decision making, the turnovers. You tell us, 248-539-9797. What we have not been doing is giving up on the season. But we are living in the moment after that game where the Lions defense played their ass off. Gave up less than 250 yards, 20 points. Aiden gets you 4.5 sacks. The pass rush was real. They got an interception from Brian Branch. And it's the offense that's still sputtering 2 weeks into the season. Let's get to the phones where we have Raymond in Commerce Township. Raymond, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, Jim. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And I just really wanted to kind of take the pulse of Lions fans really this morning. Obviously, again, we're not overreacting to anything. But yesterday, you know, it could have been a lot worse. You know, you could have been the New York Giants where, you know, you score 3 touchdowns, don't give up a single touchdown, and yet still lose the game. You could have been Baltimore losing at home to the Las Vegas Raiders. You could have been the 49ers losing to your backup QB last year in Minnesota. Yesterday was just a very, very wacky day in the NFL overall. So the Lions were not the only ones that, you know, dealt with this. But at the same time, I think the offensive line definitely let me down at least a little bit yesterday. And I think that's part of why Jared Goff had such a bad day at the office yesterday. Mm-hmm. I just felt like Jared Goff never really could feel comfortable in that pocket. And even one of the interceptions that looked like he threw it right to the defender, I felt like the guy was just like right in his face the whole time. Whereas the Lions defensive line did a heck of a job getting to Baker Mayfield, except they just kept letting him escape. And it's kind of like the guy that, you know, in the commercial that holds like the dollar on the, you know, fishing pole, and you just think you're about to get him, and then next thing you know, Baker Mayfield runs in for a touchdown. So, you know, all those things to say, I think the, you know, Lions definitely have a lot of, you know, room for improvement. You know, Jake Bates, you know, still hasn't missed a field goal yet in the regular season. There's a lot of positives to take out of the game yesterday, but they definitely have to improve. And the Lions, ever since 2022, when they started to really turn things around, when they they, you know, beat the Packers, and that's kind of, you know, where, you know, the Lions haven't really lost back-to-back games ever since then. I kind of want to wait to see after the Arizona game where the Lions are before I really start to kind of panic on the season.
Yeah, I mean, listen, nobody's panicking. I just, we all know in this league, like, every win's going to matter, especially if you're chasing home field throughout the playoffs. Everybody knows that there are bigger games still on the schedule that aren't gimmies either, and you're going to have to play a lot better than that. There's no excuse for what they did yesterday.
There were so many opportunities. I think that's what what's so disappointing is you played a team, you gave yourself multiple advantages, but you didn't take advantage of any of those opportunities.
Put it on a tee and then...
Yeah, swing and miss. I mean, you know, it's a strikeout in softball. Slow pitch.
It's well said. Let's get to Heather in the news.
98 years, the city of Berkeley could be pulling the plug on Berkeley Days because the city council is now considering a ban on all carnivals in the city. And the move comes after multiple fights between teenagers caused chaos 2 years in a row at the event. And of course, that chaos then strains police resources. They had to beef up security after fights shut down the event in 2023. And even that didn't stop it from happening again in 2024, and that shut down early again this year. So it's a bummer. And as you can imagine, the individuals who organize the event, who put on the event, are very disappointed that, you know, it's like certain individuals, a small handful of these individuals, can then cause this to happen. You know, there's so many people who love the event. It's been going on for almost 100 years.
As you said, we're coming up on 100 years. You'd like to be able to see it through, and whether that's extra security or what, you hate to see it canceled.
Yeah, for sure. Two people were shot, one fatally and another in critical condition following a fight in Eastern Market on Sunday evening. So the fight between two men escalated. One guy from Oak Park pulled a gun and fired at least two rounds. A Detroit man in his 40s was killed. Another Detroiter in his 20s was hospitalized. Detroit Police Chief James White said the two victims and the shooter were most likely attending a post-game tailgate party following the Lions game. And went on to say, you know, it's just absolutely ridiculous what's happening, right?
Oh, yes. It is. Especially, I mean, that's a crowded area after the game. I'm sure there was panic everywhere when they heard this.
Yeah, and you could hear, it sounded like from people's statements that you could hear the gunshots far, far away. Not that people knew exactly what was happening, but then they saw people running, a lot of chaos going on down there too. Very scary.
Yeah.
So following Colorado's win over Colorado State, Colorado quarterback Shedeur Sanders refused to shake hands with Colorado State QB Braden Fowler Nicolosi, and instead Sanders offered some trash talk and called out Fowler Nicolosi for some previous comments that he made. Take a listen.
What did he say ahead of time? Like, you just shake hands, right? Like, what am I missing?
Just shake hands and move on.
The Colorado State quarterback, there was some trash talk about, you know, the hype, the Instagram posts, all that. Like, you know, the hype wasn't going to win. They were the team that wanted it more, even though they lost in overtime last year. But when it's all said and done, like, I mean, if there's anybody that understands hype more than anybody, it should be the Sanders boys.
Well, and again, he talked his trash. He was wrong. He stuck out his hand, basically, hey, you got me today, and you wouldn't shake his hand over it? Come on. Like, Shedeur, you got the last laugh. Shake his hand and move on.
Yeah. You might have seen this or heard about it, at least. Jane's Addiction ended their show early on Friday in Boston after Perry Farrell assaulted Dave Navarro right there on stage. You know, we might never know exactly what happened, but Farrell got into Navarro's face and then, like, shoulder-checked him before throwing a punch. There was a crew member that tried to, like, step in and kind of get things under control, but then another band member got involved, put Farrell in a headlock, punched him in the stomach. Like, just kind of chaos going on right there on stage. The following day, the band did issue an apology. They did cancel their next show in Connecticut that was scheduled for Sunday. And like I said, while we might never know exactly what happened, Farrell's wife decided to speak out. And she said that her husband was frustrated with the sound because his voice was being drawn out by the band. And then apparently they also started a song before he was ready. So he was very frustrated. She called him a crazed beast.
Huh. It was the strangest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. If you're a fan of Cedar Point, something's coming. I don't know exactly what it is, but there is something in the works because they just released this cryptic video on social media. It happened on Friday night. The video shows some waves, okay, and then some text appeared. And it said, "What sounds so sweet may not be so. Be wary of what lies fathoms below." And then the waves kind of crash, and then the face of a woman with blue eyes appears and then disappears. And the caption says, "Something is surfacing 9/19/2024, which is just a couple days away. So we'll see what it is. I'm guessing it's going to be some sort of a new ride.
Yeah.
A water ride, right?
Yeah, it's got to be. Because
they just got, they just got rid of that, like the biggest water ride they had there.
Yeah.
They're closing that. I'm guessing something water related. I don't know.
Hopefully we'll see. New one works this time.
That would be a critical step, John. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
That's Heather with the news. TJ's making himself at home in the studio. We'll hear from him after the update. It's 97.1.